Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Ears Podcast. I am Alligator Rob. I am joined by an invisible Cindy and a very present Mr. Bill. How are you, Bill?
I'm good, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy.
We're doing great.
It's been an interesting past 15 minutes.
Yes. Yes, it has.
I don't even really know where to start, other than there's just been the most intriguing conversations I think we've ever had in these couple of rooms.
Yes. And we got, for those of you who don't know, who weren't sitting here in the studio with us, we got 6 minutes in and the power went out and everything reset. So we're going to redo 6 minutes.
It happens, which really 6 minutes is nothing.
Yeah.
Six minutes.
Piece of cake. No problem.
I won't know how long we've went though if I don't press that.
I know. Well, yeah, if you don't press the button.
That's what I get for the last, I'll leave it alone.
And Cindy's on the phone with us.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yep. Cindy is recovering from, did you rob a bank? What'd you do?
I did, but you weren't supposed to tell anybody.
Yeah. She's supposed to say she has COVID. Come on, man.
She's in hiding.
There goes your cut, Frank.
Yeah. Cindy's in hiding right now. So anyhow. Okay. We're approximately 47 seconds into it where we were last time. So I say we jump right back into it again.
Let's do it.
We are joined today on the podcast by Mrs. Curtis. Mrs. Curtis, how are you?
I am fine, Frank.
Now that I'm calling Bill, I can start calling you Mrs. Curtis and it makes more sense.
There you go. Or you could call her Jeanette.
Yes.
No, that doesn't feel right.
Commander Curtis.
Commander Curtis.
Oh, I like that, actually.
Commander Curtis.
Okay, yes. We'll go with Commander Curtis.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. I kind of like where that, I kind of like it. It's pretty good.
I like that.
So, wow. Now that I have an opportunity to restart this conversation, there's a whole different direction I want to go with it.
Okay.
So, because I started off with Young Bill stories last time. I hope you've had some chance to think about that, but we're going to go to that. We'll go back to that in a minute. So your career is literally incredible. You were a surgical nurse that went from that to the Navy and then back to college. You kind of did literally all the things. It's like you lived three lives. It's pretty incredible. Tell us, start wherever you want to. Tell us a little bit about all that.
Okay. Let me see.
That was a lot of stuff.
I had three children.
Okay.
And when my children were 7 years old, 9 years old, and 11 years old, my aunt, who lived away from us anyway, her husband went to work that day, and he was in his 40s, and he dropped dead at his desk. She had three girls, small girls. She had just finished her college degree and could be a school teacher. So she had a profession. I went home to my husband and I said, Bill, his name is Bill too. I said, Bill, what happens if you drop dead? I don't have a profession. All I have is a high school education. I said, I cannot afford to raise these three boys on minimum wage. So he went to work the next day. He came home and he said, I think you should become a nurse. And I said, ooh, okay. So I applied, and we were living in Massachusetts at the time. I applied in Rhode Island, and they said it would be 5 years before I could get into the program.
Wow.
And they said,
things have changed.
Yeah. So they said, go back to your own state, which is Massachusetts, and apply there. Well, I applied there, and I took a test, and I went to be admitted to the nursing program. And the instructor there said, you did fine on the test, except chemistry. And she said, you did not do well in chemistry. I said that's because I've never had chemistry. I said, I guessed at all the answers, you know. And so she told me, she said, well, if you go and take a high school chemistry course this summer and you do well, we will let you in the program. And it was a program for registered nurses, for RNs. So I took that chemistry course. I loved chemistry when I was there. I made 105.
Wow.
I did all the extra credits. I did everything. And
You didn't give that to me. I don't have that gene.
You don't have that
gene? No, chemistry is not my thing.
I just loved it. Well, anyway, I started nursing school, and it was called Fall River Diploma School of Nursing, and it was a three-year program. It was not affiliated with any college at all, but when I graduated at the end of 3 years, they somehow got approved for accreditation, which was amazing. So at that time, my husband had transferred to Florida, and he was working in Florida. So the kids and I, his company, moved us, sent a moving van in, and the three boys and myself went to Florida, and I took my state boards in Florida. And I worked as a nurse for 35 years.
And wow.
In the process of working as a nurse, I realized that I needed to have a college education. So I started taking one course a semester in the evenings until I got my AA. And then once I got my AA, I went ahead and went for the BSN program. And while I was in the midst of that, that's when I decided that, gee, I might like to join the Navy. I might like to.
Now, what? Okay. Here's something I've never understood. Why the Navy?
The Air Force wouldn't talk to me. That's okay. Why.
Okay. So that was
your
it.
First choice was the Air Force? And you ended up just going Navy? Or you went to all of them?
Well, okay. I was working, and there was another nurse in the ICU, and she told me where to go to the recruiter for the Navy. And my first choice would have been Air Force, but because I was 46 years old, they usually cut it off at 35. So I called the recruiter, and I answered all her questions. Because I had graduated from a three-year diploma school, they would take me. If I had graduated from an AS, Associate of Sciences in Nursing, a two-year school, they would not have taken me. And also, I had a lot of operating room experiences. So let me see. On the 2nd of August, they started Desert Shield, and I was commissioned on the 3rd of August. And
wow.
they also told me you can only stay in 13 years because when you turn 60, we're going to ask you to leave because of your age. So I said, I still want to serve. I really want to do it. So I went, and I did it. But when I turned 59, guess what? I talked to the people in my unit, and they said, if you put in for an age waiver, we're still at war. We still are very short of operating room nurses. There's a possibility you can stay and get your 20 years. So that's what I did, and I got my 20 years. Yay.
Yep.
You know, who would have expected that after 13 years, you would have still been able to say, we're still at war? I bet nobody saw that coming.
I don't believe they saw that coming at all. And look how many years we were at war. It was well more than that.
Yeah, a long time.
A long, long time.
Long time without a doubt. So I was talking, I was actually at my cardiologist today earlier, and I was asking him this question. Whenever you're in a, you're because you were a cardiac surgeon or a cardiac surgery nurse.
I was. The last 20 years that I spent in the operating room, I worked with the open heart surgeons, and I could do everything. I could scrub, I could circulate, I could assist the surgeon.
Yeah.
It was a real good specialty.
She used to remove the vein from the leg.
Yes.
So that the doctors could use it when they did the bypass.
We were trained in vein harvesting by the heart surgeons. And It was very stressful working in open heart.
That's what I was going to ask you. How do you balance that? You know, how do you, because that's a super stressful job. I mean, you literally have someone's life in your hands.
You know, yes, you do.
As a surgeon or a nurse, anybody in that room, the pressure's on you 100%. Is it a matter of having hobbies that when you leave, you take your mind off of it? Is it, I mean, is there a place you put that when you leave, like mentally? How do you separate all that stuff?
I think I thrived on it. I thrived on it. I was so good at it. I felt like I was so good at it. I worked so hard at it. And there is an adrenaline rush when you're in a situation where sometimes we had what we called a bang on. We had to put the patient on the heart-lung machine like fast. And then we would have all the time in the world to fix their heart. But they weren't going to last if we didn't get them on the heart-lung machine. So they called that a bang on.
Were they still cool in patients at that time too?
Yes, they were. Yes, yes. And now things have changed a lot, a lot. A lot of the bypass surgery is done in the cardiac cath lab. Some of the aortic valve, even the mitral valve, they have trials that are going on in the United States that they can do those valves either through a vein or through an artery.
Right.
And they do not have to open your chest.
Do it through catheter now, yeah, with the mitral clip for the mitral valve, and I forget what the other one is, but yeah, they can actually replace valves that way too. It's kind of nuts.
Oh yes, a dear friend of mine at church had his aortic valve replaced through an artery in the groin, so therefore he did not have his chest cut open.
Lucky him.
And he did very well.
Yeah, as you know, Bill might have told you, I went through that about a year ago, where they opened me up and they repaired my mitral valve, which the doctor had told me replacing it takes a couple hours. You might know more about that than because I think you worked with mitral valve stuff, right?
Yes, we did.
They said replacing it takes a couple hours. You're repairing it might take 8 to 12, but you're better off having it repaired than replaced because you know if you have it repaired or replaced, you're on blood thinners the rest of your life. And there's a lot of positive and negatives of both sides, I guess.
Right.
But
it's hard
to imagine being on the side of it I was on. It's hard to imagine being on the other side of it and having somebody laying there. And I don't know how to even.
I think you have to love your work when you're doing that type of work. And for some reason, I can tell you why I love the heart. My mother had end-stage heart disease, and she died at age 67. And she had a cardiac cath, and all of her arteries were essentially pretty well blocked. Her heart had developed collateral circulation.
Okay.
But the collateral circulation was like spider arteries. Very, very small. And when she had a cardiac cath, the doctor told her to go home and watch the grass grow. Do nothing. Go home. And she lived 3.5 years. And I knew, I was working in open heart then, so I knew what was going on. But I wanted to learn everything I could about the heart and its function and how they could fix it. And I was driven. I was just driven to do that.
Did that make you change the way, you know, when you started doing that, did that make you change the way you physically treated yourself and the food and stuff you put in your body after seeing people go through all those things? Did that make you really change your everyday stuff?
I believe so. I try to keep my weight down. I try to walk every day, at least 5 days a week, at least an hour. And I try to not eat too many sweets, not too many carbs, although I love bread. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah, right.
Especially if it's fresh, homemade bread. Oh, my goodness, I love it. But I do pay attention. And I just recently had a stent put in my heart, and my cholesterol's always been very low. But for some reason, I had 85% blockage of what they call the proximal circumflex artery. And when I was walking one day, I had some chest pain. So I called my cardiologist, and they took me in the very next day in the cardiac cath lab, and they put a stent in. So it's strange that your cholesterol can be low all your life. For some reason, your bad cholesterol, which is your HDL, for mine, that was always high. Your LDL, your good cholesterol, was the good cholesterol was low, and the bad cholesterol, the bad cholesterol was very high, and the good cholesterol was very low. And the doctors would try to give me medications to change it.
The statins. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. The statins.
Yeah. But anyway, I still ended up with blockage. Okay.
Yep. So it could pretty much happen to anybody, without a doubt.
I believe it can, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. So you, whenever you were in the reserves, were you stationed at the Orlando base?
I did all my drills in Orlando, mostly. I went to Jacksonville and did same-day surgery sometimes on weekends.
Wow.
For military families, for the dependents. I would do that because we were required once a month to do a weekend drill. And I either did it in Orlando at the Reserve Center, or I would drive up to Jacksonville and work in same-day surgery. I did that a lot. And many times I went to Bremerton 6 times.
Yeah, she had to do 2 weeks of temporary duty.
Yeah.
And she played the system.
I did.
Oh, yeah. Tell them all the places that you've been on the military's dime.
I went to Oak Harbor. And, of course, I went to Bremerton, which is outside of Seattle. And, at least 6 times. I went to Portsmouth, Virginia, 3 times. I went to Yokosuka, Japan.
Wow.
I went to Naples, Italy.
You did surgery in all these places? You were part of surgery teams in these places?
What would happen is you would put in a request to do your AT someplace that needed an operating room nurse.
Okay.
And when I would go, I would fill in for one of the other active duty people. And that active duty person either had surgery or they needed time off. And so I filled in for 2 weeks for them. And then I would go home.
How cool is that?
Oh, yeah. No, the coolest part is that my dad would travel with her.
Wow.
And they would stay on base housing. And so my dad tells stories about wandering around Naples, Italy during the day while she's working.
That's
such
true.
A rough life.
that was some of the pluses.
Yeah, no
yes,
doubt about
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
Wow. So what were, during all this, what were your hobbies? What got you away from work besides your family? What got you away from work? I know you're a lady of faith, so that had to be a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, I love my church. And I served as what we call a Stevens minister for about 20 years. And what they do is if somebody like has a death in the family or they have a crisis that they can't quite handle, they need someone to talk to. It's very confidential. You don't tell anybody what they say or anything, but you go and spend at least an hour with them. One day a week.
Okay.
And you devote yourself to them wholly. And you pray with them. Sometimes we read scripture. I had one lady that I saw, and she liked to walk. And I loved to walk. So we would go for walks and talk and pray. And, you really have a very close relationship because sometimes you do that with the same person for a year or more. And so that's one of the things I like to do. I love since COVID. I love, and I always knew I loved to work jigsaw puzzles, but I didn't know how much until we were stuck at home and you could not go anywhere. So I started working jigsaw puzzles.
You do the giant ones, like the 2,000 piece ones?
Yes. I just did a 2,000 piece one that was Las Vegas. It was all kinds of buildings and whatever. It's the second time I've done that one. And I borrowed, I bought some of the puzzles and then I
She's taken over that. They have this huge table in the dining room. I mean, huge. You can sit like 12 people around it. And she's taken over the whole table.
It's a puzzle place now.
It is a puzzle place.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And I love doing that. I love to swim. I love to walk.
When I was a kid, you taught me to swim.
Yeah, I
she
did.
Used to. She was a swimming instructor.
She pushed, just push you in.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was it. Just go. You'll be fine.
I'm a nurse, Bill. Swim.
Swim. Swim or don't. It's up to you.
I can resuscitate you. Don't worry. Just figure it out. So speaking of that, you have an interesting young Bill story. You have like a young.
Not. He's not like little. But he ran away from home once.
Okay.
Oh, that's what? Right. Yes.
He got mad.
I think didn't it have something to do with a haircut? Didn't you like give me a haircut and it was like
maybe.
Bad?
How bad was this haircut?
Oh, you got to understand. I mean, we're talking like bowl cut thing here.
Listen, we didn't have any money.
Oh, no, we didn't. We had no money.
We could not afford to go to the barber shop.
Absolutely not.
So, no, I did cut their hair. I did. And if we went to visit my mom and dad, my dad didn't dad
oh, yeah.
cut
oh,
your
yeah.
hair. He her, uses the
her hair. Father, yeah, with like a rake and hedge trimmers or something.
He used the clippers.
He used the clippers. And you know what the funny thing about that is?
What?
Is I always like did not like that at all, and that was always the thing that now my two grandsons, I see them and I think, God, I got to get clippers out. These boys need to. We got to cut that stuff off. And so he inhabits me. Wow. I say things that I'm like, that's my grandfather.
Yeah.
So how long did you stay away from home?
Oh, it wasn't too bad. I mean, behind us, we had a hay field, and across the river tracks, there were some woods, and I had set up a tent there. And I went down to
the
local restaurant where one of my friends was a dishwasher, and he got me some food. But my brothers knew where I was. They could go. They went and found me, and then went back and reported to mom where I was.
You also came back to the house a few times.
Oh, that's right. I forgot stuff.
Yeah. So we knew he was okay. But we weren't going to make him come home if he didn't want to come
home.
No,
I don't think I made it till nighttime. I think I was back inside before
you were.
Before sunset. Yeah.
So wait, you didn't even make it a full day.
No. I was not a trooper. No, not at all.
Did you have the whole stick and the sack thing going on?
Probably. I don't know. It was.
He got some supplies.
It was the 70s, the early 70s is when it was. Yep.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I don't think that's one I don't think I ever did. I don't think I ever ran away from home. I never pulled that one off.
I don't know. I don't know why. It just, you know, for whatever reason. And it might have been too the time. I don't know.
I don't remember why.
I thought it had to do with a haircut. I really did.
It could have.
I don't remember.
That's a riot. Haircuts. Yeah, good times. Haircuts can go wrong. And that can be a very rough thing as a kid.
Oh yeah, yeah. Doubt. And it's funny now. Now I go and it's like, get the clippers out, cut my hair.
Oh Lord.
One thing that happened when I started nursing school, because I was so busy, my husband took over a lot of the household duties, and he taught the boys how to do some cooking. And
What was your go-to cooking thing,
dude? SpaghettiOs. I mean, as far as cooking, I mean, you talk about cooking. It wasn't really cooking. It taught us how to heat stuff up. And this is prior to the microwave, too. We didn't have a microwave.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we had a stove, and my dad, the way my dad would take care of us, three boys, and he would say, boys, the kitchen's open for the next hour. You get something to eat, and then in an hour, I'm going to go in and clean it up, and it's done. So if you don't eat in that hour, you ain't eating.
That's
true. That's pretty awesome.
I like
where that's at.
It was. He's very proud of that system, by the way. He'll tell you. Yeah. That's the way he did it.
That was the jam.
Yep. That was the jam.
Oh, another thing I can remember about Bill too, my son Bill. He was in double cast. He had surgery on his
the Achilles tendon.
The Achilles tendon.
Yikes.
And you were in double cast.
I was in third grade, and they did surgery on me to extend, because I walked on my toes.
Yes.
And my heel could not physically touch the ground. Right. It wasn't long enough. The tendon wasn't. So they lengthened the tendon and when I was in third grade. And they put me in casts up to my knee, just below the knee, for I think 6 weeks or so, mm-hmm. in the dead of winter in Massachusetts.
Yes.
So yeah, wow. Go ahead and tell the story now.
Well, anyway, he seemed to get a lot of help when he went to school, because he really couldn't carry his books and handle his. You had crutches.
Yeah, I was on crutches. So, I could kind of walk on them, but yeah, you had to have crutches.
Yeah. So he got a lot of help from his friends, that's for sure.
But walking in snow with casts on, because you can't, they were big enough, you couldn't, you know, it's back in the day when
you
did.
You can't get a cast wet, can you?
No. Yeah. And they did like these big, clumsy plaster casts. And I just remember one day coming down the stairs from the school, mm-hmm. and it got wet and it was so cold. And we got in the car. And I was like, Mom, turn the heat on. Because my feet, you know how you get so cold where it gets painful? It gets like needles?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was it. That was, yeah.
So we don't get a lot of that here, but I do know what you speak of.
That was a fun time.
Sounds like more like a Massachusetts thing.
Yes. Yes, very much.
Much more Massachusetts than it is Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Didn't have a lot in Florida.
I see you're looking at it.
No. I'm just getting ready.
I can cheat. I can cheat, Mr. Curtis.
I know you can, because you can see it. I'll have to hold it back.
That's hilarious. If you want to jump into it, let's do it.
Well, I don't know. Where are we on time?
We're at 27 minutes.
Okay. Well, hold on. You got anything else? Got another story you want to tell?
Cindy, you have any questions?
I got to know. Yeah, this is something we've been dying to have somebody solve for us.
Okay.
Who is the ultimate Domino's champion of the
family?
Oh,
there it is.
Oh, I was hoping we'd get away without.
Oh, I know you were. You were hoping, weren't you?
I was hoping Cindy would drop the question. I wanted to be nice.
Okay. Go ahead, tell him.
I think it's you.
It is.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yes.
It is.
Has he held the title for a long time?
He declares it was him.
Well, he's held it because he hasn't been at the house for a while.
That's not true. I was there 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks.
So she's saying that you show up more often.
Is that how he did it?
And I won both of them.
He won and then took off?
He won both games the last time he was there.
So if he showed up more often, he wouldn't be the champion?
Well, I mean, it has a tendency to even out. It does.
You think so?
So, well, what are the? Do you remember the numbers off the top of your head? Do you know what we are?
I think you're 18.
Okay, so I have 18 games, and Dad has how many? I think
maybe.
He's like 16, isn't he?
Yeah,
16
something
or 15?
Like that. You want me
and
to
how many
say?
Do you, how many do you have? That's
nine.
What I want. Nine.
Wow.
They cheat.
It is a big. But the thing about it is,
I can tell you he cheats for a fact because he's always looking at my papers.
That's right. That's why I always get them all right. Yeah.
Well, that's Mexican trained Domino's. And during COVID, you've got to find something to do. So, you know, we just played a lot of games.
Yep. And she keeps track of it. She has all the scores. She has all the scores of every game we've ever played.
I do.
Wow.
Wow. Yep.
She keeps them.
How cool is that? My pop's that way with score keeping on things.
Mm-hmm.
He writes everything down too. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's why if you ever want to know, you go to the source.
Yeah.
And she knows.
That's very neat. Massachusetts. I had no idea. See, I knew that your Satellite Beach side. I never knew there was a Massachusetts side of the story.
No, yeah. We moved to Florida in 1976.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I went to Satellite High.
Yeah. We were in Massachusetts for seven 7.5 years.
1968 to 1976. Mm-hmm.
Where was your family at before that?
Virginia.
Virginia, okay.
Richmond. And mom and dad are from West Virginia.
Yes.
They grew up. My dad, his biggest goal was, as soon as he graduated from high school, was to get the heck out of West Virginia. And
he had to. He had to. There was no work.
Yeah, yeah. He
got Once you graduated from high school in Western West Virginia, there was no work. You either went to Washington, D.C., or you went to Cleveland, Ohio, or not Cleveland, but someplace in Ohio.
I think it was Cleveland because, like, the Fisher Body Plant up there.
Maybe.
Yeah, Grandpa worked there for a little while.
Yeah. So I was very fortunate. I think I told you, when I graduated from high school, they came in and gave a civil service exam, and five of us girls in the school passed, and they offered us jobs in Washington, D.C., and my job was to work for the Coast Guard. So I got a job, and it was a good paying job. I just had to find a place to live. So myself and Dorothy, we found a house that was renting rooms. So we lived in that house. And of course, I had dated my husband. I was 14 and a half when I met my future husband. We dated for 3.5 years. Anyway, so when I went to Washington, D.C., he was in Washington, D.C., also working for American Machine and Foundry Company. And anyway, let's see, I went there in May, and we got married in November.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very neat.
And then the very next October, that's when I came along. Oh. She was 19 years old when I was born.
Yes, I was.
Yep.
Yes, I was.
Wow.
By the time I was 23, I had three boys.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But now I have nine grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I have five.
I've met a couple of them. Yep.
I have five great-grandchildren and a sixth on the way.
It's amazing.
It's a beautiful family. And my great-grandsons really liked what you did with them, Frank.
Yeah, we went out on a little adventure. I didn't think we saw a whole lot, but apparently they loved it.
Shepherd loved it. He said it was great. He said it was a great time.
Yeah.
We went out and we went around Black Point, looked at alligators, and then went and did some research. Did we even see anything up in the research boxes?
No, it wasn't a thing other than the tracks. We saw tracks.
That's true.
And nothing in any of the traps. But for whatever reason, he was just absolutely impressed.
I would have loved nothing more than to show them like a skunk or a possum or something. That would have freaked them out in a really cool way. Next time.
That would have.
Next time. Next time. All right. What do you say? You want to jump into it?
Okay. So I took on the responsibility of doing trivia this week. And because my parents are from West Virginia, I figured, well, we'll just do West Virginia trivia.
I am excited to be on the other side of the trivia thing for a second. I'm super excited about it.
So we're going to start off with trivia questions about West Virginia. Number one, what year did West Virginia become a state?
Oh.
Now, if you think about the history of the state, how it became a state, it would narrow down the year.
It was during the Civil War.
There you go. That's true.
I'm going to say 1881.
No.
1863?
Yep, absolutely. 1863.
Oh, see, I thought it was afterwards. Because
the Civil War was from 1861 to 1865.
I thought it was afterwards.
And it was the only state that was, it separated from Virginia and was admitted to the Union in June 20th, 1863.
Wow, okay.
Okay. Now, in which West Virginia city was the first brick street in the United States?
Brick
Street.
Oh, come on.
Cindy.
Yes. The first brick street.
Was it?
It's a city in West Virginia. There's like four of them.
I was going to say, I don't think Charleston? I know any.
Charleston. Yes, you are correct. Charleston.
Charleston's one of the biggest cities.
In 1870, Mordecai Levy had an idea to improve the hard-packed dirt streets of Charleston. He began laying the nation's first brick street on October 23rd, 1870. He finished it in 1873.
Wow.
Hey, Cindy.
Yeah.
He says my questions are hard.
Yeah, that was.
Okay, well, here you go.
These are good questions.
Okay, so what's the state flower of West Virginia?
Rhododendron.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely they're in all the state parks.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so here's one. This is another one you'll get. What is the oldest river in West Virginia?
Would it be the New River?
Yes, it is. It is the New River.
And the New River flows from south to north.
Yes, yes, it does. Yep, it goes from south to north.
Yes.
And it's one of the oldest rivers. It's 340 million years old.
We used to whitewater raft on the New River.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, now here you go. How many states border West Virginia?
Oh, my. A whole bunch.
There we go.
Seven.
Ohio?
Not quite.
Ohio? Kentucky?
It's six.
Tennessee?
Not Tennessee. So.
Virginia?
Right, you got Virginia. So you're missing, that's three. You're missing two more.
Maryland?
Maryland, you got that. Okay.
Does it touch Pennsylvania?
Yes, yes, it does. Okay. So there you go. So we have Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio. Five states.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. Now, if you don't get this one, I'm telling Marianne.
it has to do with Marshall.
Which West Virginia city is known as the Jewel City?
The Jewel City?
Yes.
Huntington?
Yes, it is. Huntington.
Yeah.
Huntington.
Why is it known?
And the only reason I say that is her cousin. My mother has a double first cousin.
A double first. How does
a
that work?
A double
that mean?
First. This is a West Virginia thing, dude.
Sounds like it.
Her mother and Marianne's father
are
brother and sister.
Yes.
And her father and Marianne's mother are brother and sister.
And they lived.
Say that one more time.
They live side by side.
Yeah, they live side by side. So, okay.
Say that one more time now.
Okay. So her mother.
Your mom's mother.
My mother's mother and Marianne's father. We're brother and sister.
Yeah.
Okay. And my mother's father.
Well, so what, they were already cousins Marianne's then. Mother. Okay.
So right. Yeah, they were cousins. Well, no, they were brothers and sisters. They weren't related to each other in that way. So,
but I mean, your mom and her were already cousins from that, is what you're
right.
saying.
Right. Well, they were cousins from the mother and father and the father and mother. So they're double first cousins.
Yes. And do you know what that means?
And
that,
when the two of them get together, my goodness.
That means that all the grandparents that I have are the same grandparents that Marianne has. All of the aunts and uncles are the same.
Wow.
Identical. So when we have a family reunion, it's amazing. And there's nothing bad about it.
No, that's right. I mean, it's all legit. It's all, yeah. Okay, Frank,
that's
this one's for you. This is the last one. What is the official state reptile of West Virginia?
It's probably either a salamander or a copperhead. I don't know.
Do you know? Do you have a guess, Mom? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's a snake.
Okay, much is true.
Is it a timber rattler?
Actually, yes. Yes.
A timber rattlesnake. I was going to say rattlesnake. Because we used to go blackberry picking.
Yeah.
And we would go up this big hill. And you'd have to wear boots, you know, boots halfway up your leg. Because one time I was up there and I actually stepped on a snake. I don't know what kind of snake it was because I ran so quick. But and of course it, you know, didn't bite me or anything like that. But you have to protect yourself.
Could I have some very bad luck to get bit by a venomous snake,
mm-hmm.
or be doing something very silly? But yet, so it's interesting you say that because timber rattlers and canebrakes, which are both up there, and they're also in the northern part of Florida too, in the northern central part of Florida, they have a different type of venom that is if you're going to compare hotness, you know, or venom between them and a diamondback, they're like 10 times as hot. So, I mean, you get bit by one of those guys and you're not near a hospital, you're in a lot of trouble, like really fast.
Okay, wow.
They're one of the, probably the most venomous snake in the country, even more than a coral snake in a way.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes effect very fast.
Hmm.
So, sorry, I don't know how that we got into a snake conversation.
Because we talked about the official state reptile.
You don't think about, you don't think about those western, the northwestern, central United States as being snaky, but they really are.
Oh, yeah.
They really are. The hills get all kinds of snakes. They also have hoop snakes.
What is a hoop snake?
Just like, it's our coach whip. They call them a hoop snake up there because they claim they bite their own tail and roll down the hill after you. Yep, that's what they call them. That's what they call them in the mountains, a hoop snake.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
Oh, goodness.
True thing. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. Really enjoyed
You're
having you
You're very welcome.
Here.
Thank you for having me.
Cindy, thanks for sticking it out with us.
Thank you for letting me float around in the atmosphere.
You can hang around the atmosphere anytime you want to, Cindy. We're happy to have you. Mr. Curtis, until next week, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Mrs. Curtis, really enjoyed having you here. We'll catch you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.